B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. I'm man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli, 610-632-0975, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. After a very tough weekend for the city, for the area, for the country, I know I'm in pain. I know a lot of people are in pain this weekend, after this weekend, on this Monday. And as always, I start with a word of the day, and the word today is responsibility. Responsibility. All right, now, we all, at this point, National Guard in many cities, including this city, have a responsibility to the reality of the fact that George Floyd, the video, has caused more, and it's a combination of things, a lot of combination of things. And finally, the video release of the death, the murder of George Floyd has set not just Philadelphia, but the entire nation off. We have a responsibility to acknowledge that reality. I would prefer to not do shows like this. I would like to talk about sports, but I have a responsibility to talk about what's going on in this city, especially, and in this country. Now, we had a pandemic. We still have a pandemic. And during that pandemic, on three different occasions, two in which we saw and one in which we heard about, black people died. And, okay, Ahmaud Arbery happens. We see with the pickup truck. That happened a long time ago. But we didn't see the video until we're stuck in the house. Everybody's stuck in the house. Breonna Taylor, a no-knock raid to the wrong house, and she's shot to death in Louisville while she sleeps. And then finally, George Floyd happens on video, in which a guy puts his knee on his neck. And then at first, the peaceful protests started, and people seem like they were on board. In fact, 89% of Americans think that he was either properly charged or he should have harsher charges, which is an important step for this country. But change is messy. Change and evolution is difficult, especially when people are in pain. And I cannot say I am surprised in any way that the peaceful protest turned away from being peaceful, because killing people is not peaceful. You see, I always cape for the math, and I talk about that, and I believe in Newton's third law. Newton's third law is every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Now, this is America, this city. We have laws. So if someone, you can't just blindly do eye for an eye. And we don't want people blindly just doing eye for an eye. But when these things happen, you cannot think, and we let them happen, by the way. America is responsible for these things still happening. With these things still happening, we cannot assume that the change and those that are seeking change and those people who are trying to speak out are going to do it in a way in which you feel comfortable or in a way that's even considered correct. Now, again, I always cape for the math. So let's do math. And you, and if anything, and we're going to have a conversation today, just like we did on Friday. Andrew is in my spot. Natalie is in her normal spot. We are going to have a conversation today. I am trying to explain how I feel as a black person in the city of Philadelphia in 2020. I can't speak for everybody. That's why I want to have a conversation. But what I've noticed is George Floyd's death has faded away. And now people, because it's more comfortable, think that they should talk about all the unrest. And the reason they do that is they can understand, hey, you see that unrest right there? That's wrong. But the cause is way more complicated. The fix is actually not complicated at all, but way more difficult. So let's just be the laser pointer with the cat and focus on the thing that's right in front of our face. And you, everyone listening, watching, whatever, have a responsibility to think a little bit deeper than a house cat. Please. Now, this country, we know Philadelphia, it's fitting that we are on in Philadelphia, 1776. We now have a country. Okay. Still slavery at that point, which so 1776, I'm not doing so well. But fine, we have it. 1863, Emancipation Proclamation. Still got to fight, but they say slavery, all right, no more of that. 1964 Civil Rights Act. So from 1776 to 1964, that's how long it took just for the laws to say, Andrew and I, equal. In the land of equality, it took 188 years. The reaction to this has been 56 years. It's been 56 years since then. And again, Newton's third law. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. What I'm seeing now is something that took 188 years. They expect that in 56 years, what are you complaining about? It's all good. Now, there are absolutely out-of-town people who have come in to cause problems. We shouldn't let that happen. It's bad. It's terrible. A lot of businesses have lost, but they may never reopen. That's terrible. I'm acknowledging that that's terrible. It is terrible. But we all, going back to responsibility, everyone has a responsibility to care about my life more than a damn Old Navy. If you don't care about my life more than you do an Old Navy, that's your problem, not mine. You see, I want to get to solutions today. I want things to get better through this conversation today. But I have to lay out real reality started. If we all have a responsibility in this. But it will not be me who makes this change. It'll be Andrew. It'll be Natalie. It'll be other people who do not look like me who decide that I am more important than a damn Old Navy. Now, again, there's nothing against Old Navy. But if I'm not more important than a damn Old Navy, I don't have a shot. Now, I don't like talking like this. Again, I would rather be talking about sports. But we must do a better job going forward so that this doesn't happen again. There's been too many cases. It's happened too many times. And then when it happens here, we get very uncomfortable. Not with the fact that George Floyd is no longer with us for absolutely no reason. We're uncomfortable about the property. We're uncomfortable about all of a sudden when you don't feel safe, now it's real. And last thing, and I promise the rest of the show will be lighter. We will attempt to have fun through this. I do not want to have a show like this. But peaceful protest have been tried. Please, anybody, 610-632-0975, please tell me a peaceful protest in America that worked. Because last I checked, George Floyd just happened. And everybody, one other thing. When you call in and you talk about the looting and the rioting and you have your right about that, and I'm not saying any of that is good, please present to me and present to the viewers and present to the callers an alternative that you think will work. Because we need this to change. Okay? Is that fair, Andrew?
Yes, that is very fair. Very well said.
Natalie, is that fair?
Yep, you're absolutely correct. Change is messy, and sometimes that's what has to happen.
All right. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. I promise on the other side, once the music plays, I got all that out, I will be better. But that needs to be said. If my life does not mean more than an Old Navy, we have way deeper problems than we think. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Ferguson HVAC, Ryan Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. And it's also time normally to open the Twitter poll, but today there is nothing to poll. But if we did have one, it will be brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown. A lot of issues in America. America was on fire this entire weekend. Obviously, the city of Philadelphia, there's a curfew again tonight. They closed the Ben Franklin Bridge. A lot going on. And we all have a responsibility going forward. And it's an active responsibility, not a passive responsibility. If we want change, there are a lot of people, a lot of agents of non-change out there. There are a lot of people who don't want the change because change is uncomfortable. But if we can agree that the majority of us want change, then when we have to have these difficult conversations, and we have to remember that 56 years, and I'm being generous. Like, I'm just trying to use, like, I'm trying to really be generous. 56 years clearly has not been enough to solve the first 188 years. Newton's third law. Maybe in another 100 and some years, we'll look back at it and go, all right, we got it. Clearly, we don't have it yet. So what can we all do? And unfortunately, a lot of that work can't be done by me to get where we need to be. And I understand, once again, that it's uncomfortable, but we have the responsibility to talk about it. All right, David, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hi, ladies. Hey, listen, when you're a young country like we are, we 300-400 years old, it's going to do just like you said, take a couple of hundred more years. And let me say this for everybody out there. There's bad people in everywhere you go, priests, doctors, lawyers. And I want to say one thing about white people. Obama couldn't have been president if white people didn't support us and help us. You could not be an underground railroad if white people didn't support and help. The problem is the people in power that run the courts. Normally it's a nail in your coffin when you see a videotape of somebody executing somebody lying. Now they show video and the person get away. Like, it don't mean that's the problem. These cops that do get in trouble, nothing happened to them even when you got them on tape.
And that's the fear. So a lot of people thought, well, George Floyd, they go, oh, well, the officer, one of them, was arrested. And they expect, again, murder, and they just want the arrest to just be good. No. We all know, David, Andrew, Natalie, everybody listening, we know that it means nothing till a conviction. The arrest was a nice step, but a conviction is what we're looking for. We're not looking for just an arrest.
And can I close on this?
Yes, sir.
I was so happy to see with all the stuff going on, it was so many white people just in my neighborhood. It was like 60 people out there. It was only two black people with signs up supporting the black man that died. So again, it's a lot of good white people and it's a lot of good black people.
You're absolutely
right. We just got to get together and vote. And my last thing is that we should be voting for Supreme Court judges. You shouldn't appoint them.
Well, that's a woo. Whole nother different deal. You also don't want to make that a popularity contest. Let's stay away from that for just 1 second. But just wanted, Andrew, I should have went to you. This is my fault.
That's okay.
When I'm speaking in that open, do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yes.
I want to make it clear because I don't want it to be like I'm talking at people. Have you noticed that there's certain people that will focus on, they take this turn all of a sudden, and it's almost like the George Floyd thing, you know, the whole like knee on the neck for almost 9 minutes. Oh, no big deal. What about this property?
Right,
what
about this? The looting.
Right. And again, I'm not looting anything.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, though, and I'm not saying that you should be for looting, but it's funny how the fixation with that and then the George Floyd thing, it's like people look for an excuse to not focus on what's actually happening because we know we have no ability to walk and chew gum anymore at the same time.
Well, it's like what you said. There are people that can't relate and they would rather just focus on what they can relate to. Oh, I go to that store.
Right.
And they're looting that store that I go to. Now I don't feel safe. Whereas, you know, a white person who does not have to worry about getting pulled over by a cop and then, you know, one thing leads to another. They don't focus on that. They focus on the stuff that they can relate to. And that's one of the problems is you now have to open your mind. This isn't just about you. This is about the society and trying to unify.
Yeah. And that's what I think a lot of this is. It's when you see the injustice and then you see the looting, you internalize it. Like Andrew just said, and this isn't about you. It's about you changing. So this doesn't happen again because it's not about you personally.
Right. And the thing is, it's well known, my wife is white. And when I saw what was happening, I knew there was going to be more because I feel it. It was in my marrow. Friday, I thought we did a good show, a good conversation talking to people. But in my bone marrow, I knew, you know what? That's not going to be enough for a lot of people. And this wasn't just Philly. This was across the country. And yes, there are absolutely people out there, again, I'm saying it, that just come in to cause problems. Absolutely just there to cause problems. But I think that when I feel like there's a bit of a disconnect with helplessness. When people are completely helpless, one, they don't think clearly. So they go, well, what's the point of that? Or why would you do that? That thinking doesn't go in. You're helpless. You're trying to act. You're trying to make change. You want something. How you feel right now, you don't want to feel anymore. And more importantly, you don't want to feel it again. You don't want to feel it again. And then what we want from murder and very dark things, what people then want is crystal clear, like focused thinking when people are in pain. And it makes me wonder, have those people ever been in pain themselves in their lives? You know what I mean? Like, you're not, it affects me. When I saw that video, I'm in pain. I do my best because I have a job, and I have a job to do every single day. And that's all my whole focus every day when I get here is do my job and go home. Do my job and go home. So I'm able to filter out other things. Other people don't necessarily have those coping mechanisms. They're in pain. They feel like when they see that, they don't just think, oh, well, that's sad. And some people do. That was their whole connection. They feel like, oh, no, that's sad. That could be me in 10 minutes. That can be me tomorrow. And I've been stuck in a house since March. And now I'm outside. And then I see the people who in my eyes are responsible for that man's death, which would be my death, and this is how I act. Again, I was home. I felt like I needed to be home. I feel like not enough people were wearing masks. I'm still worried about the virus. There were a lot of reasons why I'm not in the streets. I was not in the streets over the weekend. But I absolutely understand, viscerally, why people react that way. And I'm not saying that it's right at all, but I'm saying that if you cannot allow in your heart, if you cannot allow that perhaps people don't think crystal clear when they see people murdered, again, the problem is not them. The problem then becomes you. Georgia, Mount Airy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Ty, what's good?
What's going on?
Adley, Andrew, how y'all doing? You pretty much touched everything I want to say, but there's some things that you said that I want to bring up. One, so all of this, I don't want to diminish of George Floyd's death. I don't want to do that at all. But I want people, white people, black people, every type of people, to realize this is just not about George Floyd. I keep hearing it on the news that what's happening is because of George. This is just not about him. He is, I guess you can say, the last straw. This is about everybody who's been murdered, who's been brutalized, who's been racially profiled by the police. This is all. And then on top of all that, it's also about still what you talked about a few minutes ago about it ain't just end with slavery. Like this kind of injustice and unfair treatment to us, because I'm a black man, goes on in corporate, it goes on in sports, it goes on in darn near everything. So it builds and builds and builds, and you know what happens when something builds too much. That pressure only gets but to be so much before things spill out, and this is what it is. Some key words that you brought out. Yes, we got to keep talking about this to make people uncomfortable. We have to have these conversations so people who don't understand where we're coming from is uncomfortable. You cannot sit in comfort, especially with this going on, and thinking that everything's going to be all right.
Right. You're absolutely right. I didn't mean to cut you off there. You're absolutely right. This shouldn't be normal. This shouldn't be normal. And I just think that there was a certain level of naivete from people that thought, okay, so another black man gets murdered on camera. Oh, they've been stuck in the house for several months. Weather's starting to get warm. Didn't rain, it seemed like, anywhere in the darn country. If it's raining somewhere, people might say, didn't rain anywhere, that there would be, it was like people were... I understand that you thought, all right, look, I think there was a certain percentage of people who thought, all right, it's been arrested. I feel good about myself. I was mad about this one. All right, everybody, let's go have a barbecue. And there's some other people saying, no, it's not all right yet. And those people, however they did it, and there were tons of peaceful protests, by the way. And unfortunately, that does get overshadowed. There were tons. But what got talked about more was the negative stuff. And if you're looking for attention, and if you're looking for awareness, what's that lesson going forward? The negative stuff gets way more attention than the positive stuff. And I just does.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, sad just that does. I had to find the positive stuff, the peaceful protest, on social media from non-reporters. I'm not bashing reporters.
Sure, here, but what
you, you know how the industry goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had to see a regular human being post a photo of a peaceful protest and be like, this is what they're not showing you. But then when you see a reporter's tweet, or when you just turn on one of those news sources, it's all about the looting, it's all about the rioting, it's all about the violence. That's all they're showing. And it's sad because you're missing the overall message and the peaceful message that is starting in the day.
Right. And then what ends up happening is unfortunately, when something else like this happens, what gets internalized either on purpose, accidentally, however it seeps in is, well, if I act a fool, that'll get a lot of attention. If I do what people consider the right thing, that will quickly get brushed under the rug. So you're telling people who feel oppressed that hey, doing the wrong thing will work because doing the right thing won't. That's, to me, a dangerous message. To me, I think it's a dangerous message. Joe, you're on that. In media, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, listen, you know, long-time listener, first-time caller. I appreciate you guys having me. Just wanted to say a couple of things.
Yes.
So, first things first, you know, it was surprising to me to see the police deployment in Center City after the Rizzo statue got defaced, and like the very next day, you know.
How they were protected with half the police force?
Yeah, right.
We saw that, yes.
That's not, you know, protecting life. That's not even protecting real property. That's protecting for a lot of people in Philadelphia is a symbolism of police brutality, right? I mean, you got to ask yourself, why do people constantly gravitate to the Frank Rizzo statue when there's racial unrest? That statue says something to people. Now, our new police commissioner, she doesn't know the history of Philadelphia. She doesn't know what the Frank Rizzo represented to black people or white people in this city. There's powers underneath her that said, hey, your boys better go out there and protect Rizzo.
I will say, Joe, that it was bad optics. They could have easily did that same perimeter around the building behind that statue. You're absolutely right. I was not around for the Rizzo era, but I've never personally, as a black person growing up, I never heard anything positive about Frank Rizzo as mayor. I personally never did.
So, you know, the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, I've been teaching the city of Philadelphia for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I teach African-American men and women from age 14 to age 18. And I have to tell you, and I want people to understand that I honestly and legitimately talk to my darker skin students who are large, who I know that white America's scared of. When they walk down the street, these people move out the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell them, listen, you got to understand something. People in this country, unfortunately, people kill the things that they're scared of. Whether it's a cockroach in the middle of the night or somebody in the middle of the street, they kill what they are scared of. And so you might not like the message, but I have to tell my students. I got a student that's 6'5". In 10th grade, he's 6'5", 300 pounds. And I got to tell him, listen, when you walk down the street, they don't know you're 15. They don't know you're 16.
Right.
You look like the scary man to them, and they got negative things in mind for you. So
you know what? That's, smart. You're protecting that student. And hopefully that leads to that student being able to live a long and healthy life. Now, some people might say, why do you have to do that? Well, you do. It doesn't really matter why. Like, that's what I mean. We have a responsibility to reality right now. We got to stop with the, like, reality. That's why when I'm talking about the unrest that wasn't so pleasant, I'm not putting a rubber stamp on it. I'm not saying that it was good or productive or anything. I'm saying the reality is those people, the people that are hurt. I'm not talking about the out-of-towners that came into Philly this weekend and then got arrested. And the people in some cities where there were white people pushing the black people into the police, that was all on video. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about those that are legitimately out there who don't want to listen to a curfew and are trying to actually be heard. Those people are the ones I'm talking about. Those people from out of town. In fact, I hope that one of them happens to have it on. And I want them to call at 610-632-0975. If you were from out of town over the week, obviously this is anonymous. So we won't know. If you're from out of town and you decide to come into Philadelphia just to cause problems, what was your motivation exactly? Like, I want to know what the motivation is in the situation.
Well, I think there's a ton of motivation. There's you know, personal agendas. And this cause is something that if anybody who does have a personal agenda against whatever it is, they can add on to it. You know, because people do. I think people tend to want to fuel the fire for some personal gain. You know what I mean? Like, they like to kind of mix things up and make things worse than they are because, you know, over social media this weekend, I was tweeting a lot and talking to a lot of people and, you know, being so outraged about, as you know, a man's death. There's multiple people who have died, like that caller said, you know, this is years of oppression that you're seeing play out in front of you. But when you think, you know, you're looking at George Floyd on the ground and you're thinking about what is going to work to make sure that this doesn't happen again? So what you're seeing is people who are standing there with signs trying to say they're trying to change your mind. They're trying to change your mind for that 1 second. In a split second, if you are ever in a position where you have the opportunity to save one person's life, that person matters. Because on social media, people were saying to me, well, it wasn't that bad because he didn't kill that many people. Why does it have to be multiple deaths to understand the importance of one life?
Yeah,
why?
That was weird.
Why does it have to be so bad? Why do people have to feel that it's worse to appreciate what one life is? Because we all only have one.
Yeah,
only have one life.
Yeah, there was a lot of people out there oddly caping for the cop. I don't use the cop's name anymore on purpose.
I don't even know his name. I never want to know it.
I don't want to talk about the cop who did the crime anymore. I'm trying to focus on the person that was murdered in the street. So that was a weird thing on social media. Social media, I tried to stay off. I tried to be positive. Before I get to the phones, I want to give a lot of credit to the city of Camden.
Oh, city of Camden beautiful.
Did a fantastic job, both the police and the citizens. They were the gold standard for the country, the city of Camden. The gold standard for the entire country. And I happen to know they tore down the police, basically the whole police, and rebuilt it from scratch. I know, have friends with a Camden County cop that works in the city of Camden heavily. And he talks about some of the work he's done with, not just with the good people either, with some of the bad people that he knows that have gotten in a lot of trouble. And it came off a lot better. Came off significantly better in the city of Camden than almost anywhere else. So kudos absolutely to the city of Camden for just a remarkable job over the weekend. So you got to always have the positivity mixed in. Josh in Perkiomen, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone, I just want to say thanks for taking my call, guys.
No, thanks for coming on, man.
Everything you said is 100% what my wife has told me over the last 8 years of our marriage. And, you know, I've been called a sympathizer for being in an interracial marriage and trying to understand where she's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't said much, and that's where my ignorance came in. And I finally lashed out on Facebook. Now, I wasn't mean. I wasn't nasty. I just put this out there like, you don't know what they go through every day. I'm just starting to understand it because I started listening to my wife and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the backlash that caused from people I've known my whole life made me cut them out completely.
That's sad.
Because I realized you're not important anymore. Her community, her family is more important than your fragility of you being scared one day in your life. Versus her being scared every damn day. And I just want to say, I appreciate you putting this out there and taking the time to talk about it. And I love you guys, and we're here for you guys. And thank you so much for that. I'll let you speak on everything.
No, thank you, Josh. Seriously, thank you. Thank you. I don't like starting the show today the way that I did. That's not my default. I don't like to go there. I don't like to approach things that way. But when we have that weekend, and on this particular station, I'm the first black person to be able to speak on it, I felt that I had to be as honest as I could with the platform that I do have, because I don't need to go get a bullhorn. I don't need to. And it's a weird thing, because I don't want allies to alienate allies. And there are many allies out there who don't know how yet to be allies. And I don't want to alienate any allies. I was speaking about my situation, but I don't want to, you do not want to alienate allies, because allies, to be an ally, you don't have to be perfect.
Right.
You do not have to be perfect to be an ally. You have to approach it in good faith. You have to have an open mind, but you don't have to be perfect to be an ally. And that's why I'm hesitant sometimes to go all the way real, out of fear of alienating a possible ally.
Right.
And that's a tough thing. That's a tough line to walk in a situation like this when things are so volatile.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and it's just...
And the goal, and I think, you know, your goal, Ty, and your voice is to educate, to explain this to people who might not understand it, so that there are more allies.
Yeah.
Because this, what is trying to be accomplished, in my opinion, from witnessing it over the weekend, is for things to be better for everyone. That's the bottom line. Right. That's the bottom line. It's so we can all eventually live in peace. Right. I think at the end of the day, and just simply live. To live in peace and to simply just be able to live.
Well, right, and it both sides gain. Okay, there are people out there who fear the police. People who fear the police are less likely to call the police. One, that's like the easiest way. People who fear the police are less likely to interact positively with the police. There's also a lot of police who are afraid of people that look like me. If they are afraid of dealing with people who look like me, well, then that makes me less safe. And then they're less safe. I'm less safe. Everybody should be safe. We want everyone to be safe. The goal is obviously everybody to leave for work that day and everybody make it home safe. But if we don't talk about it, and we don't try to talk about it in a real way, again, having the responsibility to recognize reality, I don't think this ends up incomplete, and then it happens again. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic,
NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. I'm hearing that traffic is a mess out there right now around. Again, this, people are not going to go quietly into the night about death. They're not. And I wish I could put it in a different way. And I hope that everything's peaceful. You always want everything to be peaceful. We got to remember, putting your knee on somebody's neck is not peaceful either. And when stuff has a violent start and people are exposed to a lot of violence in their lives, violent things may happen after. And again, this is about a responsibility to reality. I would love a utopia in which I could just tell a person, hey, man, it's just all good. But I would be lying right now if I said that. Maureen in Roxborough, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Maureen? All right, no Maureen. She was talking about the rioting situation. I wanted to hear from her. She wasn't there. Raider Jack in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Ty, what's up, man? Natalie, Andrew. Listen, I call in other shows. First time calling in with you guys in a long, long time. And usually have a lot of fun and everything. But I'll be really honest with you. I watched that CNN special last night. My eyes were completely opened. I just, from Tavon to George, I knew things were bad, but, you know, maybe I turned a blind eye. Maybe I looked away. And, dude, it's horrible. I just, you know, I don't know how I'd be able to, you know, I worry about my son, both of my boys. One's in the military, one's in college. I worry about them every day. They're adults. But you know what? I'd be beside myself. I'd be crazy if I had the worries that are placed that shouldn't be there. Those worries shouldn't be there. And it's a shame that just the basic fundamentals of life are being taken away from people. And I just, it makes me sick. I mean, I don't want to go anger and everything, but they need to make that guy an example. They really do,
you
man.
You know what's tough, Jack? You know what's tough is the America's great partially because partially because of its ideals. And I think what people forget is to reach all those ideals, you have to work. And I think some of the work, some people don't want to do the work to get to the ideal.
But it's not even hard work, Ty. I mean, it's not hard work. It's basic fundamentals of life. I mean, seriously. I mean, like, I didn't know, like, I just, at times I'm speechless about this. And, you know, the other people that I call know that I'm not usually speechless. But it's just basic fundamentals that, you know what, that every single person in this country, in this world deserves. And I'll tell you what, like I said, I will never, never look at something like I did the other night, and just like I will be fully aware. And like you said, you know what? I've changed. I've never been prejudiced, never been racist. I've coached, you know, good kids, bad kids. You know, I've watched my team, literally, Ty, this is no lie. I watched my team in a Catholic youth organization because we came from a place down here in Delaware called Edgemoor Gardens, which doesn't have the greatest names. And they literally was wide left on a field goal, and they called it good. I mean, literally.
Yeah, and stuff like that happens with kids. We had to deal with that when we were coming up. But I mean, whatever. Like, just win. So we only won by 28. Instead of 35, like, we're still going to come out there and spank you. You can go ahead and hit your little crooked. Literally, you would go to certain towns, I won't say right now, and there'd be crooked Little League refs.
Really?
Yeah, messing up spot. One time a kid went to, he was down, he put the ball forward for the first down, and the ref signaled the other way and said it was a fumble. My dad was defensive coordinator, three and out, right, got the ball right back. you go ahead and get, you can take the ball. Three and out. Like, come on. That kind of stuff. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? But there was none of that, like, complaining. You just push forward. I do think that sometimes, because so many of us, people that look like me, just push forward and don't spend every day complaining, that's part of the reason why, one, people get so uncomfortable when we do complain, and two, why they don't see it, because that's not something you walk around talking about every day.
Well, and also, historically, if you look back on this country, and when you're saying every day complaining about it, when have people who look like you been given the opportunity to really, on a large scale, get out there and talk about it? Because if you look at the way that things have gone, all of the faces that you've seen historically on television have looked the same.
Yes. Most times,
historically,
yes.
So you're talking to people who don't quite, or, you know, the people who are talking to you about issues in the world might not completely understand or be aware, like that caller said, of the plight. So now we're, as a society, advancing, and there are a lot more voices to get out there to try and explain to people just how there's just no room for this anymore. And, you know, you're one of those voices, so you're able to kind of tell people.
Try to tell
people. Yeah, you're just trying, again, just trying to explain, to teach for the better, you know? And in this country, there hasn't been many opportunities for people like you to do that.
No, that is true. And hopefully, little by little, we can have more diverse voices so that when something like this happens, there's an actual plan. And where right now what you're seeing, stuff's happening in the city, people are speaking, it's still mostly peaceful. I would not be shocked if somehow things flared up again, is there's no plan for stuff like this, because no plan previous has ever worked. We remember the big NFL guy who tried this peaceful thing, and then that meant he hated America, and then people went out of their way to make the calls not real. Then when things like this happen, they go, maybe that cause that I did everything I could in my power to take away from, because they didn't do it the way you wanted, perhaps that cause was real. Greg in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey guys, painful subject, but you know, hopefully a springboard for further discussion.
I hope so.
Ty, I'm very interested. You know, I didn't vote for him, but, you know, I was hoping when President Obama got elected, it was going to be an opportunity to open up these lines of communication and really heal the country. And I don't know. From my standpoint, I didn't see much that changed. I just wondered what your perspective was, whether you saw things that changed for the better that we could go back to doing again.
Well, yeah. Well, one thing is a leader could actually call for peace.
Yeah.
That would be, I mean, that's one thing that you could do right now. A leader could call for peace. If a leader, see, many times people think that the only kind of strength from, this is from like an office cubicle all the way up to the highest of the high, that the only strength is force. Many times restraint is strength. When a person, sometimes restraint is strength. It takes a lot more strength many times to restrain yourself. And I think that right now, what's not being, from the tippy top, restraint and peace is not being preached at all.
No.
And force is. And if you want to force, when people feel like they're already in that kind of state, if you push them, they're going to push back. And then that's when people perish because it gets really ugly. So that's one thing that can change. The other thing is, Greg, that you have to recognize is throughout that presidency, whatever you thought of his politics, there was a active ploy to delegitimize his situation from his birth to everything else. Where even if you hate him as a politician, there were people who said, oh, the first black president wasn't even born in America and therefore and didn't even know the Constitution because his mom was born in America, so he still would have been it didn't make any sense, but that was out there. Like, I mean, the Constitution, like, again, like, the facts, man. Also, though, some of what you're seeing right now is the Newton's third law. You had a black president for 8 years. There's a certain amount of people who say, all right, you guys had your thing. Now it's time for me to get mine. And this is their equal and opposite reaction to those 8 years. Because the 8 years made everything square. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.